You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
And so here we are. And literally, we're melting together
right.
as one
right.
in our brokenness, in our inability to heal us.
Right.
And our conclusion is, but God heals broken hearts. And now that moment, the Holy Spirit came down in that moment. So when I went from our procedure, he had all these people lined up for their procedures or whatever. She says, you call me out. When you come here, you call out. So we stood there at the counter at the surgical place, and she just poured her heart out.
Mm.
You know, and God was just there.
Amen.
You know, I want to be there all the time.
Yeah, me and you both.
I'm so tired of religion. I'm so tired of, you know, whatever is happening out there. You know, there's people that understand brokenness, you know, that...
You got a minute for me to tell you just
please,
a little story?
Please do.
My friend Mike Coleman, who used to work for me and was part of our work in ministry and then started Integrity Worship Music. It became the biggest of its kind in the world.
Right.
And then Mike began to have health problems. Of course, everything began to be free. You couldn't sell a CD, and so he had to sell the company, and had some serious health issues. His wife had serious health issues. 7 years of testing.
Mm.
And Mike preached earlier this year at a church, and I went to hear him. And he said something that I thought was just amazing and wonderful. He said, when Jesus arose and appeared to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. And he said, except I see the scars, I will not believe. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus comes in the room without going through the door, and shows him his scars. He said, Thomas, put your hand
wow.
here. Put your hand here.
Wow.
And he said, a lot of times people don't believe because we act like we don't have scars.
Mm.
He said, we need to show people our scars.
Mm.
We need to let them see what we went through.
Mm-mm.
In fact, your testimony is the most powerful thing you've got. Mm. Your story. And I thought that was so good because it's
yes.
a humbling thing to say, well, we're not bragging about our sin, but we'd say, here's where I failed.
Right.
And God met me. I'm an
right.
ordinary person.
Yeah.
And God met me.
Mm.
And it left an impression with me. Being willing to be vulnerable is very, very important to evangelism. And
he shows up. God shows up.
Yeah, he does.
He shows up.
And see what happens.
When we look bad and he looks good, he shows up.
That's right. But what happens a lot yeah. of times when the Holy Spirit blesses us, we look like we're special.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who became mayor of our city, another friend of mine that was baptized in spirit, same time I was.
Is he mayor now?
Huh?
Is he
no,
okay.
he's
okay.
passed.
Okay.
But he had preached in our church as a layman.
Uh-huh.
But another friend of mine was baptized in the Spirit, same time I was, went uh-huh. to Brother Ken's group.
Uh-huh.
And he was exuberant and excited, and he was going on about the power of God and the Holy Spirit, justifiably.
Uh-huh.
But my friend who became mayor said, he acts like he's the only one that got it. And I thought, I know he wouldn't want to be viewed that way, but
right.
here's what happens to us. Sometimes we come off triumphant.
Mm.
We've been through a great revival. We've had a great experience.
Mm.
And we see ourselves on that side of the experience.
Right.
And others look at us as, well, those are religious fanatics,
right.
or, you know,
speaking,
they think
speaking
they're special.
Christianese.
Yeah, yeah. But if you say, look, man, before Jesus touched me, here's where I was,
mm-hmm.
and here's where I've been even since he touched
right.
me. It's by the grace of God.
Right.
They can identify with that.
Yeah, that's true. It's good. It's very good. I got a question about that. When you think, you know, they just spoke at the Light the Fire Again conference at Bay Center. You know, Daniel Kalinda with CFAN put it on Christ for the Nation. It was a great event. But one particular minister was talking about, I don't know you know, the difference, but it's like people are experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they don't have the fire. I mean, your encounter with God, you know, in 1962, I believe, and then Brother Ken's encounter with God, I feel like, you know, my encounter with God, you know, and some others, but people are, they're praying in the Spirit, but they're like causing church splits. They're praying, and you hear the spiritual language coming out, but they're at the same breath they're eating the pastor for dinner that night. I don't understand. I understand this. This is one thing Daniel said I thought was pretty cool. He said the gift, the Holy Spirit's he's a gift. And so you don't get a gift at the end of your experience. You need the power now to get you to the end. It's not a reward. It's a gift. I thought it was powerful. You know, I understand that. But so often people think because you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you arrived, I guess? I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's like...
must be special.
Yeah, it must be special. But, I've, you know, some of the my friends that speak around, they said that you know, some of the most difficult places to minister are people that feel like they've already arrived at a place.
Oh.
And so they're already defying what the Holy Spirit can
absolutely
do.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's why I go back to the Exodus, though. Because Paul said, all of our fathers were baptized in water and had the same cloud, baptized into Moses, ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink, but with most of them, God was not pleased.
Mm.
It was almost all of them.
Yes.
We're talking a lot of people. And I think you can have all of that. And that's what he's saying. He said, this is for your instruction. He's writing to the Corinthians. He said, you know, you've been born again. You've been baptized in water. You've been baptized with the Spirit. You got all kind of spiritual gifts.
Right.
But God could not be pleased with you.
Yep.
And learn from what the Hebrews went through in the wilderness. And
Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, many of you are going to have all those kind of things going on. But he said, I never knew you.
That's right.
So you can be moving in a gift.
It's not proof of status.
I can't figure it out with my own mind, but he's saying you could be prophesying, you could be casting out demons, you could be performing miracles. You could probably be, most people would think you're like the hot topic or something, but Jesus can say, I never knew you. And then he says, away from me, you evildoer. So you can actually be an evildoer and still move in the gifts. Like Jim Baker's book, he wrote the book, I Was Wrong.
Right.
Because he didn't understand that you can have gifts and not be right.
See, that's something that the non-spiritual church needs to hear from us.
Yes.
That it doesn't make you a super spiritual person. It doesn't confirm that you are. He says, all of them had these experiences, and yet with most of them, God was not pleased. And so I felt like the Lord spoke to me once. He said, if you humble yourself, I will exalt you. If you exalt yourself, then I'll do your job. Mm. I'll humble you.
Mm.
And it shocked me because I tell you, God wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed.
Right.
But he's afraid he'll kill us.
Yeah.
Because if he prospers you and blesses you, and then you do the wrong thing with it or don't know how to handle it, it can destroy you.
Which happens many, many times.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
And so, walking humbly, he has showed you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly mm-hmm. with your God. That's a very, very important. And if you get lifted up, you get puffed up.
Right.
And next thing you know, somebody's letting the air out. And
the man told you, I'll put you on this pedestal and I'm going to dig you down.
I'm taking you down. well, you know, I felt bad. It was nasty. But it didn't help him to say that. It
right.
probably helped me more for him to say it to me.
Right.
Because in some way I had disappointed him. But, you know, I don't think we should ever outgrow humility.
Mm.
And I love my dad because he had gone through enough that he walked humbly. And he was a pastor 35 years in the same Baptist church. And that's unusual. Mm-hmm. But he had been through spiritual wars, and it had left a mark on him, a good mark. Mm-hmm. It's like Jacob, he had a limp. Mm-hmm. And we all need a limp. We need to know that this is entirely by his grace.
T.D. Jakes says, I don't trust a man who doesn't limp.
That's right.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, we've got a lot to learn, mm-hmm. and I'm sure on the other side we'll still be learning.
Pat Hamilton and I were in Israel, and said this. We're arriving this particular man in Israel. He said, I'm not prideful. Ask me.
Well, one preacher preached a sermon called Humility and How I Achieve It.
That's so funny. And then he gave a prophetic word in this house in Israel. And he said, there's a worm in the apple. And everybody knew the fulfillment of the word, that this particular guy was the worm in the apple.
Right. You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.